The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes is in the house. Dugger, you haven't been here for several weeks, so
I know,
glad to have you back.
I've been missing being here.
Well, I've missed having you, for sure. But man, I'll tell you what, here we are just days before Christmas, and you would think that things would be calm, cool, maybe even collected at the office, but it has been nothing but chaotic.
Nothing but chaotic, busy, people trying to do year-end stuff, us trying to do year-end stuff, catching up on paperwork, making sure things are dated and signed, and it's just been an interesting time.
It sure has. We normally this segment I would do a little news of the week, of course, brought to you by Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, supported by us at Comprehensive Financial. And to learn more about Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to mcshof.com. But I'm not going to do news of the week, Doug, because I left all of my stuff back at the office.
How about that? That's understandable.
Plenty to talk about,
yes.
We have, of course, in the news, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is the Tax Reform Act that went through. We're going to talk in detail about that, and more importantly, just what it means to you. And, you know, you've been hearing me talk on this show for quite some time about getting ready to get ready. Well, it's time to get ready, and we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk to you about a few things you need to think about or maybe even do before year end, and we don't have much time. In fact, Christmas being on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, but I'm going to be out of town Friday, and I've got a lot of stuff going on with Christmas over the next few days, so there's not a lot of time to get anything done before
there
the
really
end of the
isn't,
year.
Yeah.
You have all your shopping done?
Well, no, not all of it. So I have most of it done because my wife does a lot of it. But no, I've got
Let's say she does all of it. Let's be honest.
Yeah. She does all of it except for just a couple minor items.
Well, and for me, I've done pretty darn well this year. She's sent me a few texts of pictures that she'd like to have, so I picked up most of those items. Picked up a couple of surprise items as well. Wife struggles with the stocking. How much gum and stuff do you shove in there? So when she was a kid, her mom, or I should say Santa Claus, always put a big piece of fruit in the toe of her stocking.
Right. Like an orange
or something. Yeah. So it would look really full, and then when she would actually empty it out, you know, a quarter of it would be this big apple or orange in the bottom. Well, I thought that she liked that. I thought that was a good memory. So for many, many years, as our marriage progressed, I would put a big orange in the bottom of the stocking. So after about 10 years, she says, "Now, you know I always hated that growing up, right?" Like, no, I had no idea. Yeah. So now I actually have to fill it full of something. So I'm going to go out to the mall when we're finished, wrapped up with the show, and just my mission is to buy some stocking stuffers. The other catch is at my house, she likes to receive the gifts the same way that she gives them.
Okay.
Now, what I mean by that is the wrapping paper. So you and I would lay a piece of, you know, box down or whatever, lay a piece of paper down. We'd wrap it up. You know, hopefully the corners are matched or maybe they do. I don't know. And we'd wrap it, put a bow on it, and be done. Well, she puts the ribbon on it. She's big time. So this week I was watching Monday Night Football, and that was my goal, was to wrap the gifts that I'd gotten so far. And I'll say, Doug, I'm impressed with my ability to wrap ribbon and all of those different things. So I'm pretty fired up.
My wife tends to be a little more, she'll go and buy it and then say, "Hey, you bought me this for Christmas." And so so I've been buying Christmas, as she says, all year long. So that's what kind of puts me in the quandary of, what do I get? What's the something surprise extra to get?
Because we'll turns talk out off air. We'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something.
Hey, we've been both married a long time. So
if anyone has
any
ideas, right?
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's dig right into tax reform. We're going to run down of some of the basic changes, where they were, where they are now. And then I'll give you some commentary on why I think this is the biggest opportunity in really our lifetime to do what you know you need to do, and that's to pay those taxes on the money you've never paid taxes on before. And why you're going to need to do that and how come, we'll get into that as well. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Duggar, every meeting that I've had this week squarely is focused on this. People walk in and they say, so what do you think about the tax plan? And I'm like, I kind of like it. And I'm saying, but what do you want to know? And they say, well, how's it going to affect me? Because at the end of the day, the bottom line is, how's it going to affect me? Well, we're just going to hit some basics here, and then I'm going to get into some commentary. But when you think about the big ones that people are really worried about, it's stuff like, deductions. I know we're going to be limited on our state and property taxes to $10,000 of deductions. Now, who does that affect? Well, it can affect quite a few people, and here's how it works. Like Doug and I live in the same subdivision. Our taxes are between $4,000 and $6,000 a mm-hmm. year, so we can deduct that. But if we're capped at $10,000, if you do the math, divide the other $4,000 that we could deduct by 0.46, which is the state and local income tax, that means that we can have about $88,000 of income where the taxes are deductible. So if you earn more than that and you live in our subdivision, then you will not be able to deduct those excess taxes. So that's one thing that could hurt you. There's really no change in the charitable giving. I know a lot of people are worried, oh, I need to make my charitable giving stuff. No, you don't have to. They actually raised the percentage on what you could give of your income. In the past, you were limited, like 50% of your income could be given away to charity. Well, now they've actually increased some of those things. Some of the other things that probably don't matter a lot to most people, we won't even get into when you get into, carry forward interest and things like that. But, there are things that will matter. Like I've done two or three this year, like kind exchanges. That's where you have a highly appreciated, let's say, piece of property. You sell it and you want to flip it into a new piece of property. Well, you can defer that gain. And then when you pass away, your heirs receive a stepped-up cost basis, so then they sell it at current market value and there's no taxes paid. And that's what we call swap until you drop. Well, that's the like-kind exchange program. That didn't really change much. They just made a definition that said it had to be for real property. And for most people, that's what they were doing anyway, so no big changes there. I mean, obviously the big one, well, let me talk about small businesses first. So when a small business buys something, they can either depreciate that over a period of time, or they can expense it all in the same year, write it off of their bottom line. That's called a Section 179. They did increase that. They increased that Section 179 expensing all the way up to $1 million. So if you're right here at the end of the year and you're a small business and maybe you've had a great year, you may want to go out and buy that equipment now, mm-hmm. or maybe even wait till next year if it's a big expensive one. But either way, you can expense it. Also businesses, pass-through entities, which most of us are, that are small business, LLCs, S-corporations, where a lot of your income passes through as an owner distribution. Well, that's going to be beneficial, where they're going to allow pass-through entities to deduct 20% of the business income. Okay, so 20% of that pass-through up to certain limits. So like they're going to limit deductions for people that are Myrie filing jointly to like $315,000. So there's a lot of that. But here's the big ones are the standard deduction going up from $93,500 if you're a couple all the way up to $24,000 for a couple. If you're an individual from 6 up to 12, that's a pretty big deal. But they do phase out the personal deductions, personal exemptions. So if you and your wife and you have two kids, that's 4 personal exemptions. Well, that's $4,000 each, or, quite a bit, $12,000 that's gone. So that gets made up on the standard deduction side. And I found this interesting, Doug, because if you're, depending on what media outlets you listen to or watch, your view of this is drastically different.
Yes.
I was watching ABC News on, I don't know what night it was, and they said, the Tax Reform Act is to benefit the wealthiest 25% of taxpayers in this country. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the way they phrased that, well, that didn't sound very good. Well, if you actually look, I went to Kiplinger and found a guide on where you would stand if you were in the top 25% of income earners. So I found it, and I'm looking for it now. but I can tell you it was right around $79,000.
$79,000.
So yeah. I thought to myself, they're calling that guy wealthy?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where this information just gets batted back and forth. And you know, taxation, it's a vital issue, but it sometimes becomes just a very tired political debate back and forth. And I think that's where the general public really is right now with it. They're just very confused. They don't know what is what, and it's maybe not necessarily because of the plan, but because of the way it's been distributed to us through the various outlets.
I loved it when they said the polls say people don't like it, and I'm like, what? Who's being polled? It's like, you know, I'm not being polled. It's like my wife picking a movie off of the Rotten Tomato approach. I don't know if any of you've ever done this, but
sure.
you see Rotten Tomatoes, and you're like, oh, I don't want it that one. Well, what we found, and you may be the same way, that when it has no Rotten Tomatoes, we hate the movie. But when it has lots of Rotten Tomatoes, we like the movie. So we figured out that the people that are ranking these movies aren't like us. We like Rotten Tomato movies, I guess. I mean, we think they're funny. We think they're, you know,
they're good storylines.
They're fun, whatever. But anyway, so I think when you talk to people who say, well, I don't like this, what do they not like? They haven't even experienced it yet. Right. I mean, I've been digging through this for 3 days straight, and I'm just now getting my hands around it.
And you know, David, as soon as the news broke yesterday, by the end of the day, we heard from some major corporations about bonuses and giving money and things like that. So if that continues on, you're going to see more and more people having at least an appreciation. Maybe not an immediate resentment.
Well, that's probably the number one, the biggest thing is the reduction of the corporate tax from 35% to 21%. Now, we have seen the stock market rally for quite some time on the anticipation of a lot of this happening. Well, it's happening. It's happened, or it hasn't been signed yet, but it will be signed. Well, folks, let me tell you this. Only 14% of companies in America with 500 or more employees are publicly traded companies. The rest of them are private. And I give examples all the time. Cook Incorporated, Chick-fil-A. I mean, there's so many different companies out there that have hundreds or thousands of employees that are private companies. Well, the real question is, what are those companies going to do with it? Because we do know that bottom line is important for publicly traded companies. They have to report every 3 months, and you know, things like what AT&T did with bonuses, and that's great. They're giving money back to the people. Are they going to invest more in their equipment? Are they going to hire more people? What are they going to do with this extra money? Well, in the private sector, the same questions are there. What are they going to do with this money? And the real key is that if it ends up in the hands of people, whether it be through the company spending more money to make more money or giving raises or whatever, because it has to get in the system. If it gets in the money supply system, then that multiplier happens and you get expanded economic growth, which in turn could mean more revenues. So even with lower taxes, there's more revenues. That's the theory. But the real question and the difficult thing is, what are these private companies going to do with the money, the newfound money, of making really an extra what? 14% on their bottom
Absolutely.
Line. So, Doug, that's the real
question. Well, and balance sheets will look good, and people should be prepared for that. I mean, balance sheets are going to look that much better because there's that much more money in the pockets. And, of course, the old debate is, where does it go from here, and how are the corporations going to spend this money? But at the end of the day, it just makes balance sheets look a little bit healthier.
The last thing, the federal estate tax, and this is just a quick educational moment. So it looks like they're going to increase the federal estate tax limit from currently just over $5 million up to $11.2 million indexed for inflation. So that doubles it. Now, and it's 40% tax on anything over that. So here's the thing. If you don't have an estate larger than $10 million, $11 million bucks, then you will not pay any federal estate tax. There is no inheritance tax for the most part here in the state of Indiana. So the only thing when you pass away that you have to really worry about, or your heirs have to worry about, is income taxes. And that's the tax that you haven't paid on the money that's in these deferred accounts like 401ks and IRAs. So as we've said many, many times on the show, we've been waiting for this to get ready to get ready. So when we come back, I've got a little commentary I'm going to run you through to hopefully fire you up, to get you motivated to do what you know you need to do, and that's to pay off that tax man now, pay off that partnership, which is the IRS, and move your money into tax-free forever. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right. So with tax reform passing both the House and the Senate and now headed to the president's desk, where it will be signed sometime I'm not sure when. They're saying maybe not until early January. But either way, tax form is now a virtual certainty. So I wanted to just take some time and comment on how the legislation will affect the typical person who's looking to shield themselves from the impact of higher taxes by getting themselves into a lower tax bracket in the future. Now, as we said in the first segment, most Americans should not be greatly affected by the addition and elimination of deductions and exemptions that resulted from this bill. Deductions were obviously added with the standard deduction increasing, personal exemptions going away, caps on what we're going to be able to deduct on state and property taxes. That's happening for sure. But in the end, none of these adjustments seem to be major game changers, unless you have an enormous property tax bill or live in one of those really high tax. And Indiana is not a low tax state, folks, but it's not considered a high tax state like California, New York, New Jersey, and others. But the real benefit of this tax reform is to be felt in the lowering of the tax brackets. We didn't get into that a great deal in the first segment, but they've lowered the tax percentages. We still have the seven brackets we had before, but instead of being, at 10%, it's now, I think actually the first one's still at 10, but instead of the next one being at 15, it's at 12. And the next one, instead of 25, it's 22. And instead of 28, it's 24. All of that. So there's some benefits there for sure. Now, what I've gotten from David McKnight, this isn't from the IRS, it's not from, any other source. It's from David McKnight, who's the author of The Power of Zero, and that's how to transform your retirement savings from taxable to tax-free. He wrote this. He said, the real benefits of this tax reform are to be felt in the lowering of tax brackets. As I've said previously, the creation of a 24% tax bracket that extends all the way up to $315,000 represents a massive planning opportunity for those who want to take advantage of low taxes now before they go up for good on January 1st of 2016. Okay, so that's what Dave said. Now, why? Well, because when you shift assets to tax-free, those dollars obviously get put on top of the other income you've made that year, and they're taxed at that highest marginal tax bracket. So under the 27 tax code, most of these folks would have paid taxes at 25, 28, 33, or more. But starting in 2018, most of the folks that make good money, really good money, are going to fall squarely within the 24% bracket. So taxes for those people just went on sale. I mean, for example, someone that maybe wanted to shift assets to bump up to the now 28% bracket, they would move enough money to bump up to about $233,000 of income. Well, under the new system, under the old system, the tax on that shift would cost someone about $52,000. Under the new tax plan, that would be $44,000. So you have about $7,600 a year of savings, tax savings, with this lower tax bracket and widening margin that you can actually shove stuff in. So if tax rates remain low for the next 8 years, which is what we're seeing, and I thought it might be 10, but it looks like it's going to be 8, this is the time to take the time to analyze and figure out over the next 8 years how much you should shift now, Doug, and never have to pay the taxes later. Because I can tell you, either I'm missing something, or my math is wrong, or something. But when you look forward and you look at the fact that we're still projected to run on deficits for a really long time, at some point, and David Walker says it best, the former comptroller of the United States government, that taxes would have to double for us to simply pay for the things we've already promised. So is that going to happen in 10 years? I don't know. But at some point, taxes have to go up just to pay for stuff. So if taxes are on sale for the next 8 years, this is the time to put together a well-thought-through tax diversification strategy that will put you in a fantastic position, 8 years from now. Doug, we talk so much about portfolio diversification, yes, but we never, ever talk enough about tax diversification.
David, a couple things come to mind. One of the most important decisions you're going to have to make is about taxation. And oftentimes,
it's the most expensive thing in retirement.
That's right. And that's what I was leading to. It's the most expensive thing when it comes to retirement is how much you're paying in taxes. And so when you look at your assets, if you make a list of the buckets of assets that you have, and you go through that list and say, how much of it is a taxed position? How much do I still owe tax on versus how much I don't owe tax on? If that balance is out of whack, then you really need to sit down and put that together. Because as we've always said, you can't design your entire financial plan on taxes. Because the rule of thumb has always been, you will be paying less tax when you retire. Well, nobody can guarantee that. And so that's why we encourage this. The second thing I would say, and this is a bit of a portfolio discussion, the difference between a portfolio that needs to distribute $50,000 tax-free versus $50,000 after tax is a completely different complexion. Oh, it's a different risk tolerance. It's a different methodology. And so there's also portfolio evaluations that need to be made. If, for example, you have $1 million, you need $50,000. If it's taxable, you really need a 7% return just to break even on that. And so there's a greater impact, I think, that people don't realize just in that.
I think the other planning that has to go into play here, and I had a great meeting today with a great friend and client, and he has about $1 million in his retirement accounts. He, I know Doug's saying, I need friends like that. But yeah. You know, he had some property, some timber that mm-hmm. he had out of state that he was going to sell. He had cash in the bank. So as we talked about, you know, in the next couple of years retiring, I was like, well, let's talk about how much money you're going to need. So he said, well, actually, I'm probably only going to need about $60,000 a year, but I'll just live off my savings and the timber I sell, you know, and probably won't need to touch my mm-hmm. retirement account for, 5-6 years into retirement. I'm like, well, that sounds great on the surface, but the real strategy is to pull the right amount out from your retirement accounts. And right. What's the right amount? If he was living off of capital gains from the sale of timber and cash in the bank, his taxes are going to be ridiculously low. Mm-hmm. So whether he uses that money or we use it from the retirement accounts, you need to get the money out of the retirement account, whether it's a Roth conversion or whether it's just, you know, using it to live on. And taking it out slowly, because at some point, if you just let that tax time bomb continue to delay, at 70.5, you have to start taking money out. It's 3.65% the first year. So that's $36,500 on $1 million. Well, that's the good news, right? But the bad news is that every year you live, the IRS gets more aggressive with their requirements. Mm-hmm. And by the time you're, you know, let's say 80, you're being forced on $1 million to take out over, you know, 50 grand a year, and it just keeps getting worse. Well, what are some of the unintended consequences? Well, higher taxes into an unknown future. Medicare premiums could go up because you're making more income. There's just a lot of things that can go bad and wrong by not defusing that tax time bomb now. Mm-hmm. So, and again, folks, here's the deal you've made. You say, and I can't say it enough, you can put your money away today, tax deferred at a known tax rate, to take it out later at an unknown tax rate. Or another way to put it is, I'm taking out a mortgage. I go down to Owen County State Bank and I say, hey, guys, I need some money. Fine, take it. What do you need it for? The house. Okay, great. I say to them, what's the interest rate? I'll tell you in 30 years. I mean, that's who would do that? So right, that's exactly. That's the deal we've made with the government. And I'm not like some conspiracy guy. I'm just telling you that if taxes are going to be higher in the future, and the people that are going to pay the tax are those that have money in retirement accounts, then why would you not put together a well-thought-through plan that over the next 8 years moved a significant amount of taxable money forever to tax-free forever? Doug, to me, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, and people need to, you know, there's some things you can control, and one thing you can control is the way you set up your tax plan. You cannot control what taxes are going to be.
Couple quick things that you might want to do before the end of the year. We talked about Roth conversions. I know taxes are going to be lower next year, but one thing that you can't do any longer, which was a really great thing, is the old do-over or the recharacterization. So you could convert to a Roth IRA, and next year you do your taxes, and you'd say, oh, I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't know about that, and recharacterize, put it back, just like it never happened. Your investments went down, put it back like it never happened. They have eliminated the recharacterization on Roth IRAs. So if you want to try to cram a Roth IRA, a Roth conversion in before the end of the year, you could still recharacterize before the end of the year. The thing that I am going to do personally, I am going to go ahead and prepay what I think I'm going to owe in state income taxes for 2017 before the end of the year so that I can fully deduct those in 2017 for the tax return we'll file next spring. You can't prepay property taxes, so you cannot prepay taxes that are going to be owed in 18. Now, I would argue that in Indiana, when you pay your spring taxes, it's actually the fall taxes that you're paying. So I would argue that. So maybe you could too, and you would go ahead and do that. So there are a few little things you might want to do. Don't forget that if you're over 70 and a half and you want to give money to a charity from your IRA, you need to do that before the end of the year. Qualified charitable distributions is what it's called. So there's just a lot of different things you can do, and certainly with only a few days left in the year, you better get busy, maybe even tomorrow. So,
absolutely.
And you're listening, and that's if you're listening on Thursday night. So, Duggar, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's see what else we have. We will continue this discussion. We have a talk on principles of successful long-term investing, which is going to be where I'm going to tee you up for a great discussion. So we'll have that and a lot more. This is Your Money with David Hayes. It's funny what your kids pick up on. My son was watching the news with us the other night. I didn't think he was paying any attention. And they're talking about the top, 20% income earners and all this. And he says, "Are we in the top 1% or 20%?" I go, "Well, yeah, we're in the top 20%. How in the world do you think we afford this car you're driving or all this, these cell phones? I mean, golly. But just to remind you guys, to be in the top 25% of all income earners in America, that throws you squarely around $79,665. So when they say it's the wealthiest 25% of Americans, but I also told him that, when you get into these brackets, especially the top 1%, which means if you make more than $480,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of all income earners. There's a massive, massive gap between the very, very highest income earner and that top or that bottom 1% guy. Mm-hmm. 480. Look at Roger Goodell, right, for the NFL, not-for-profit organization, $20 million a year, private jet.
That's right,
yeah,
yes.
People, that gets
and
people
And some would
goats.
Argue he's not doing a very good job.
Yeah.
But some would argue he's doing
Hey, you mentioned off-air you had one more
Just wanted to bring back the College 529 contribution between now and the end December 31. That is one that does not extend like the IRA till April 15th of the following year. Needs to be in by 12/31 of the calendar year. So if you are looking at making a College 529 contribution, you're going to want to do that in the next couple days.
We are always here on the show. We are always doing this in our live education workshops or in one-on-one meetings, trying to get people to focus on successful long-term investing techniques. And, right now, I get it, and we're doing some things. When you look at the market and you say, man, the thing's on fire, what do I need to be doing? And you might say nothing. I mean, you just kind of stay the course. But I would say this, that if you are closer to needing the money than not needing the money, then you probably should think about doing some things to protect what you already have. Now, how much should you protect? Well, it's the money that you're probably going to need to spend in the next, 5 to 10 years. But if it's money that you're not going to touch for 10 years, there's absolutely no reason to be doing anything different than what you're already doing. But Doug, I think when it comes to successful long-term investing, there are some basic principles. And one of the things that always come to mind is that you need to plan on living a really long time. So when people sit down with me and say, I'm not going to live that long, it's like, let's just pretend like you're going to live a really long time. That's important.
It's very important, David. And what we have seen is due to healthier lifestyles and medicines and medical technology, people are living longer lives. And there's a lot of research and some information that comes out from a lot of the different sources that are out there that tell us if you're 65 years old, there's a good chance that one, if you're married, one or both of you is going to live to 80. And the chances of living to 90 aren't so small anymore either.
I mean, it's 25%, right?
Exactly right. 22% for a single man living to 90, 33% for a female, but 48% if it's a couple living together, which I found interesting. And I've looked over the last sets of clients I've had that are over 90, and they're couples.
Yeah.
A couple of them are not,
yeah.
A few. But a lot of them are couples.
My uncle Robert Stillions and Aunt Jean Stillions, mm-hmm. My granddad's sister was Jean. both well into their 90s, just passed away this year. So there's something to be said about that.
So when we always say about retirement, too, is that you really should plan on about a quarter of your life living that in retirement. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the life is exactly going to be like, if you're what your health or your mobility. So there's a difference sometimes between health and mobility.
Sure.
And so you can have a long life and not be as mobile as you'd like to be. And so there's a lot of things that we need to look at. But that being said, it really means if you're 50 years old today, right, and you're planning for retirement, you still have a very long time horizon.
Oh, yeah.
For that long-term bucket. It's deciding how much you want to be in that short term when you start taking the income.
I mean, if you retire at 65 and you live to 95, you could very well have been in retirement as long as you worked.
Absolutely.
The other thing you just said, I wanted to illustrate to people this way. A lot of you are invested in these lifestyle or target date retirement funds within your plan at work, and it might say 2020 because I'm going to retire in 3 years. Well, that's not assuming you die in 2020. It assumes that you retire in 2020.
Right.
So they say, okay, to Doug's point, I may live another 30 or 40 years, so it's not uncommon to see that portfolio still have 50 or 60% stock, long-term investing in that. Doug, another successful principle for long-term investing, we've heard this term so many times, cash is king, cash is king. You know, cash isn't always king.
No, it's not. It cash is only king when markets are plunging and you have a lot of money to put in. So when, David, we look back to the income that's been generated by, let's use an example, $100,000 in a six-month certificate of deposit. Back in 1986, you could get about $4,000 a year based on the interest rates. Today, it's less than $370. So you're not losing principal. You're losing income.
Which is the key right
the
there.
The key,
you know,
that's right.
Forever, we in
because
America...
Because you think back to 1986 and what $4,000 would have bought then versus what $4,000, let alone
the
losing
loss of purchasing
that,
power plus
exactly
loss
right
of real dollars.
It's
definitely cash is not always king. And sometimes I always say to people, what's the best use for your cash? And going back to our previous segment, sometimes it's paying taxes on money that you know you're going to have to pay the tax on at some point down the road. The other thing that I think is a really strong, just a basic principle for successful long-term investing is harnessing the power of compounding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it was that said it. Arguably,
Albert Einstein.
I've heard
sometimes
Mark Twain, Albert Einstein.
Yeah, that,
yeah, it's like the eighth.
Sometimes
the
they
world
say David Hayes said it. So it could be Albert Einstein, David Hayes. A lot
whatever
of people get attached to.
But it is the power of compounding.
Yes.
And I think harnessing that's very, very important.
You know, a lot of investors don't really understand the power of quarterly dividends, buying more shares on their own along the way. Rather than taking them in cash. And all you're doing with that is you're just compounding that return, and then you have dividends that are being reinvested, share prices are changing when it's happening, so as growth happens, you continue to steadily see this work in force that you have nothing to do with. You're just letting the dividends do the work for you. It's just compounding.
And really, all you have to do is look back at your 401k statement 10 years ago, look at it today, and granted you put money in, and just look at how powerful compounding is. Now, do you notice it over the quarter? No. Do you notice it over a year? Probably not. Do you notice it over 2 or 3 years? Not really. But once you get into that groove, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, 20 years, that power of compounding is so evident.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that you just can't avoid is definitely having yourself in a position to be able to compound.
One thing, David, I think that people need to understand about compounding is that this typically happens. The most successful way to do compounding is through dividend and dividend reinvestment. Mm-hmm. Don't put your money into an investment that doesn't pay dividends and expect the compounding to be as gradual and long-term successful. If it doesn't pay dividends, you're just hoping for price appreciation on top of price appreciation that can go away pretty quickly.
Some of the other principles for successful long-term investing, avoiding emotional biases and sticking to your plan. That's a big one. The other one, Doug, we'll move right to this one, is volatility is actually normal. Volatility is normal. Do not let it derail you. And now when we talk about volatility is both ways. It goes up, it goes down. That's volatility. No one complains about volatility when it's going up, right?
Right.
We all love that. It's when it goes down. But what we're experiencing volatility on the upside right now, what most people
describe as volatility are the you know, gyrations in the market, the ups and downs, up and down. But that is normal. And what we're trying to say to people is, don't let it derail you. Have a plan, stick to it. Don't let your emotional biases kick in to derail you from a plan. But Doug, volatility is normal.
David, we think back to 2016. The first week of January of 2016 was the worst first week in the history of the U.S. stock market as far as first weeks go. And the first 6 weeks, the market was down 11%. The year ended up 10%, and that's on the S&P. So you went from down 11 in the first 6 weeks to positive 10 by the end of the year. So that's a 21% swing. That's what volatility is.
The other thing, staying invested matters, obviously, you know, pulling money in and out. I've said it so many times on the show. If you missed the, you know, best 4 days in the market, you missed out on half the returns or whatever. You know, people always say, well, what if I would have missed out on the worst days? Well, that's good, too. But you can't time that stuff. You can't figure it out. It just doesn't work. So staying invested matters. And diversification, you know, it does work, but too much diversification can kind of diversify you right out of any returns. Mm-hmm. We've seen that over the years as well. But diversification does work over long periods of time. Granted, back in 2008, whenever the market dropped 40% or whatever, everything was down. You know, bonds, stocks, gold, everything. Everything except dollars and treasuries were down. So, but shortly thereafter, as we started to get some recovery, bonds kind of retreated to do what bonds are supposed to do, and stocks did what they're supposed to do. But diversification does work over long periods of time.
It really does. Diversification, or as we know, asset allocation. What that simply means is that your portfolio is running a balance between how many stocks, how many bonds, real estate, international, domestic. There's a lot of different names we can throw around mm-hmm. there. But it simply means if everything is up at the same time, be careful, because it all could. So you want to have a little bit of a rotation.
Remember old buddy Leo? He would say, "Hey, you know, diversification should be like the pistons in your car.
That's right.
When some are up, some are down.
That's right.
And as long as you're moving forward, that's all that really matters." All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to it's time to wrap up the show. Yeah, we have about 5 minutes when we come back to wrap up the show. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Actually, I do have one more break, and then we'll take the break, and then we'll be in the show. So complicated. I know, complicated. Hey, it's my first time, right? Actually, it's not. I've been doing this, 16 years, so I should have it down by now. All right, so during the show, we talked about a lot. We talked about the Tax Reform Act, what it is, what it's going to do. We then talked about the idea of us being ready to get ready to get ready, and it's time to, you know, get ready, because this lower, you know, tax brackets are coming and all of this stuff and these opportunities. So we're just trying to keep you motivated. And it's not going to be the last time we talk about this stuff. I mean, we're going to continue to talk about opportunities, different strategies, ways you can do this or ways you can do that. You know, if you're a business owner, or maybe you are a, you know, just a person that works for the normal paycheck every single week, doesn't really matter. At some point, we're going to be talking about something for you. Hey, we're doing a lot of these classes through Ivy Tech, Community College, the Center for Lifelong Learning. We did one for state employees that went great. We have another one coming up. If you are a realtor, and you're going to be hearing about this soon, if you're in the Board of Realtors, we are doing a class. Ivy Tech is doing a class for you. You'll be getting an invitation through the Board of Realtors on how to sign up, how to pay, when it is, and all of that. So we have a fun class coming then. We're going to do another state employee one down in Lawrence County. They heard about it, and now they're wanting Ivy Tech to host one down there, so that's going to happen. This is going to be big. I think 2018 is going to be a great year for financial education in our community. We're very excited about it. We're excited that we're able to teach these classes through Ivy Tech, and the fact that between Ivy Tech and the different employers and all the different people involved, we've got the cost down to less than, like, I think it's $15 now to mm-hmm. come. That's like almost 6 hours of class time. So there's a lot of great stuff that you're going to be hearing about in 2018. And I wish that I had 2 hours to be here with you on the radio and we could talk about all kinds of great things, but unfortunately I don't. I have to go and I have to take another break because I ran a little bit long on a segment that I'm very passionate about, which is obviously getting yourself from being taxed forever to tax-free forever. That's something that gets me fired up. So we'll be doing a lot of tax programs, public workshops on that as well in the coming year. So it's going to be a fun year, but we're going to take a quick break, come back, wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Doug, I feel like I sucked all the air out of the room. I didn't give you a whole lot of air time tonight.
That's fine. I was here to, you know, you have been really passionate about taxes as long as I've known you, actually. And so it doesn't surprise me on the eve of historic tax reform like we haven't seen in decades that you got a little bit of fire in the belly.
So someone asked me the other day, how did you learn so much about taxes? I'm like, well, listen, I know a lot about two things, real estate and taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost money on real estate. I've learned how not to do that any longer.
Yes.
And I've paid a lot in taxes, and I've learned how not to do that any longer.
There you go.
So that's how you learn a lot about something is you experience it.
And
I've been experiencing
right.
it for quite some time, gratefully. So what's your plans for Christmas and over the weekend?
So we have some friends coming over for Christmas Eve, which is our traditionally. My wife makes a wonderful lasagna, so mm-hmm. we're going to have some
that's
friends
nice.
Down to have that, that they traditionally do that. They're going to head to my dad's on Christmas Day and have up to Indy and have a Christmas Day lunch of sorts. So I'll get to see my sisters and my nieces and nephews.
Nice.
It'll be really wonderful.
Yeah, we start off Friday night at my wife's cousin's. It's down like in Springville. We've done that. It's kind of her mom's family. And then Saturday, my mom's family, or actually my brother's sisters and all that, my mm-hmm. mom's getting together. That's always a lot of fun. Sunday, church at 10, I think. We have my dad's for Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. and then we'll do a Christmas Eve service that night as well. So a lot of churching on Sunday, which is the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
And then we've been going out to eat on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We went to the farm last year for like a, I don't know, Christmas story themed mm-hmm. thing. But this year on Sunday, it was a little difficult to find a place. So I found out just a couple of days ago that we're going to Domo. We're having hibachi on Christmas Eve. So
that's wonderful.
We'll see how that goes. And then, of course, Christmas morning at my house just with the three of us. And then we have my wife's family, brothers, sisters, their kids come in.
Sure.
Christmas Day, and then back to it on Tuesday morning at the office. So
wonderful, yeah.
You'll be in next week, though, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I will be, too. Sounds like about the two of us
it
are
may
about
just be
it.
You and I answering phones, filling out forms.
Yeah, whatever we need to
whatever
do,
whatever
right?
we need to do, yeah.
It's
going to
be great, and I'm excited about 2018.
Really excited, and I think that I think we're going to see good things.
I think
it's going to be an exciting
year. Well, 17 was great, but,
absolutely.
It kind of was a year, especially in this community education thing we're doing with Ivy Tech. It was a year of development, and this is going to be a year of explosion, I hope.
Well, and just think about the markets. This was the first time in the history of the market we had 70 all-time highs in 1 year.
Hmm.
And the market, for the first time in history, gained more than 5,000 points in a year.
We saw a few trading days left.
Who knows what may happen?
Hopefully it continues to be good, or at least kind of the same for sure. Hey, don't forget to check out Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Go to their website, mcshof.com, to learn more about Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. We are very supportive of that organization, and we want people to learn about it and be... get involved if they want to. So all kinds of good stuff there. So, guys, we appreciate your time with us. We appreciate it very much. If you missed any of the show, you can always catch it on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., which I think is the most popular time to listen, not Thursday nights at 6, but, that's just my opinion. And then you also can go over to iTunes and subscribe. And I know we have a lot of iTunes subscribers now, so thank you for the people at Cook who are on the production floor, and instead of listening to music, they're now listening to our podcast. So we appreciate that very, very much. So just a lot of stuff going on now, and it's very busy, and then we'll have the new year and all kinds of crazy stuff. So looking forward to it. We hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas. We'll be talking to you before the new year on next Thursday's show. So have a great weekend, everyone. Goodbye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.